Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Pay Attention, Please, Hollywood Life's Real Housewives podcast. I'm Chris Rogers.
And I'm Eric Tedisco.
And we have a lot to discuss. I know we're already halfway through the week, but, you know, yesterday was a holiday, so we were off. But right before that, huge, huge Housewives news dropped. Kyle Richards and Mauricio reportedly separated. Where were you when you heard the news, Eric?
It's nothing compared to March 3rd when Scandoval dropped.
I know, it's like our new Scandoval, but not as, I mean, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, we should start by saying that this was reported by People magazine. A source told them that Kyle and Mauricio separated a little bit while back, and that they've been living together and sort of working out their situation and trying to figure out what's next. But then just a couple hours later after, I mean, that blew up all over the internet, Kyle and Mauricio both took to Instagram and released a statement which says, in regards to the news that came out about us today, any claims regarding us divorcing are untrue. However, yes, we have had a rough year, the most challenging one of our marriage, but we both love and respect each other tremendously. There has been no wrongdoing on anyone's part. Although we are in the public eye, we ask to be able to work through our issues privately. While it may be entertaining to speculate, please do not create false stories to fit a further salacious narrative. I'm going to ask you what you think, but I'm just real quick going to say my takeaway from that immediately was she didn't deny the separation report. I think she was trying to, in my opinion, roadblock anyone insinuating they're getting divorced, which was not even part of People's report. But I think when people saw that, not people, the outlet, but viewers, fans saw that and started speculating it was divorce. I think she was putting a roadblock on that. And then she was also halting any speculation about either her or him being in an outside romance, which we'll talk about as we get further into this. But what was your take first on that statement?
Yeah, the note that she did not deny that they aren't currently together is definitely very important. Now, you could be separated as a couple, but not head to a divorce. I mean, divorce is legally documents, the whole shebang. She's basically saying we're not going to get to that. But she's not denying that right now they're not together. And she outright said, like, shit is not good right now. Like, we just had a really rough year. Happened to be as they just filmed a new season of the show over the last few months. You know, it's the thing is this, to bring it to the scandal of it all, this didn't completely come out of left field. No. There had been rumblings that things were going on with them. If people don't know, there's been rumors that she is in a situationship. I don't even know what to call it because it really is just rumors and nothing more as of now with Morgan Wade, this country singer, a female country singer. Yes. She's been posting, they've been posting each other on their socials a lot lately. Mauricio has not been popping up on Kyle's socials, even when Kyle was posting, because I think one of her nieces, one of Kim's daughters, got married in Aspen. So the whole family was there, including Kathy. And we saw like Kyle and Kathy appeared to reconcile during their trip to Aspen, ironically, in Kimosabe. So there were rumblings that there was some distance between Kyle and Mauricio. During filming, she did an interview, I believe, with Evan from Page Six, saying that her marriage was a hot topic of conversation throughout the season and that some of the women were bringing up these rumors. And during that time, I didn't take it as like, oh, this is true, because Kyle and Mauricio have dealt with marriage or marital issues in the past.
Way back, yeah.
Or remember when the whole thing with LVP putting Brandy out, you know, and Brandy kind of exposed LVP with that. And then also a different time when Brandy was like, nobody wants you, ask your husband or whatever. Of course, the Alison Dubois of it all.
Oh my gosh.
Let me just touch on that for a sec. I'm not subscribing to the whole, like, she was right. You know, I mean, I guess the woman, like, talks to dead people on a psychic or whatever.
50-50 chance of being right.
You could say that about anything. Yes. I could, like, look at any couple down the street and say they're going to get married or they're breaking up. And, like, it's been, that was season one. They just filmed season 13. It's been a minute, Alison Dubois. Yeah. And, of course, she had to chirp in on the socials and say something about it. So, you know, we'll let her have her moment. But You know, listen, 27 years they've been together. They have been like a foundation couple on this show of Beverly Hills. Like, I have not processed like Kyle being single and that journey. Like, I can't imagine that. Like, I cannot imagine a Kyle and Mauricio not being a thing, not even just in life, but to watch on our television screens, like a Kyle Richards single era happening along with like Erica and Garcelle and Sutton. I can't imagine. Like, listen, this just brought me even more excited to Beverly Hills. Like, and I feel like we're kind of itching to get that show back because we've come and gone from a couple franchises lately. And this has been a long break for Beverly Hills. I don't think we're going to get it till the end of this year, end of 2023. I'm itching for that show to come back. And we don't know how much of this is going to play out on that season, but this is wild.
This is funny because season 13 wrapped several weeks ago. They had, you know, Erica did this big concert at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Kyle had her big white party that we haven't seen in a while. You know, but there were no, it's like you said, like Mauricio has been doing interviews promoting a book that he has, and obviously buying Beverly Hills, his show on Netflix. And each interview, you know, they sort of ask, you know, him about what's the secret to your long lasting marriage, but also like, there's always been ongoing rumors about, like, I mean, I think two seasons ago, it was rumored that Mauricio was having an affair with Dorit.
Right. You know, so there's still rumblings of that. And to that, I don't buy into whatsoever.
I almost always felt it was like the LVP fans who are like doing anything to tear Kyle, you know, apart and just take her down and whatnot. I mean, who knows? But they've dodged these rumors for years, but they've always seemed solid on TV, in their interviews and photos together. So in that regard, the report was surprising. But like you said, because of all the rumblings and stuff, it was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm not totally shocked. And then like her friendship with Morgan Wade, you know, they allegedly have matching tattoos. They have hearts that are like, I think Kyle has it on her arm, or Morgan does. Kyle has like talked about Morgan in interviews. I mean, she said that she first listened to her music several months ago. I think it was like in 2021 or 2022. She first heard Morgan's music, became obsessed with her, and like just stalked her down. I don't know. I don't remember if she went to like a concert of hers or like reached out to her in DMs, but they're not hiding their friendship. It's very out there. So I don't think it's like some affair or whatever like that. I think it's just probably a case of her and Mauricio being super busy. I mean, Mauricio now has his own show. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a book that he's promoting. He's running the agency, which just keeps growing and growing every year. You know, and Kyle's got Beverly Hills, and then she was in the Halloween movies and stuff like that. And their kids are getting older, and I'm sure it's just an adjustment to this new phase in their marriage. I don't know what will come of it. I am a little worried. I hope that they can work through whatever issues they're dealing with. The good news is that they were together on the 4th of July. They posted pictures. I think they were still in Aspen, right?
Yeah, with the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. They were there with the kids. They posted a picture together. They even posted a picture solo, just the two of them. Mm. Mauricio had his arm around Kyle. Whether it's all for show or not, they seemed okay. And it's interesting. And the other thing I was going to add on this is that, you know, when Scandoval happened, Bravo cameras came right out within like 2 days. Mm. So when this report first came out, I suspected the same thing would happen because unless it already like transpired on camera, but I assumed that would happen. We haven't heard anything yet about cameras coming back out to film anything about this. Kyle Mauricio put the statement out, kind of squashing it for the time being, I think. So I don't know. Time will tell if Bravo cameras decide to come back out, or if, like you said, it could have already been covered in the season, like their issues. Mauricio did say in a couple interviews that it will all be addressed. Not this, but like before this happened, he said the rumors about their marriage having troubles and stuff like that will be addressed head on in the season. So I'm almost wondering if sort of like a game of telephone, like maybe production told someone something behind the scenes, like, hey, this was talked about on camera. And it sort of got out there like, oh, they separated or something. Either way, it's making me excited for the new season. Like, I just think, you know.
That's the thing. When I saw the People article and I saw a source, I presumed it was Kyle's team or Mauricio's team, and they were ready to announce it in that type of way. But then them putting out a joint statement denying it, I guess it really was a source. Now, we don't know where this information comes from. I just presumed it was them putting it out there at first just to get the word rumbling, especially since it came out like on July 3rd during the holiday time when it's easy to, you know, reach things beneath the, put things beneath the surface. That's what I thought. Now, that's pretty much obviously not the case, considering they had their own joint response denying some of the details in that People article. The one thing about Kyle consistently has been she understands what she's doing on reality TV, and she knows she has to show this. The thing about Kyle consistently has been she's always been willing to show the stuff with Kim. She's always been willing to show the stuff with Kathy, to her detriment, where I think Kim and Kathy have actually resented her by almost making her life a part of the show, because she really is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. People have come and gone from that show, but she's been consistent. Her marriage has come up on the show. Her dynamic with not one, but two sisters has been on the show. She really has been the story of the show.
Yeah.
So I think that she understands enough to know that, like, this has got to play out. Even if it hasn't on the new season that just finished filming, well, that's what happens live interviews next season. We were never expecting Kyle to be on from next season. Anyway, reunion. Will Mauricio be at the reunion? We don't get the men at Beverly Hills. It's not like Jersey. The men do not really come to the Beverly Hills reunions. No. Has Mauricio ever been to a reunion? I think maybe that season where that whole thing was happening with LVP putting the tabloid out, I think him and Ken may have been there, but besides that, the men are not.
Maybe. I can't.
That'll be interesting to see. Another interesting to see is like everyone's response. Dorit and PK, what happens there? Those four as thick as thieves, but PK and Mauricio also have a tight bromance too. What happens in that situation? I'm dying to know what LVP and Ken think. I mean, they're so close with them. That'll come up because LVP will be doing an interview and everybody's going to be asked, of course, and Beverly Hills, of course, once the time comes for those ladies to do press.
Brandy took to Twitter over the past 2 days. She was like, stop media, stop calling me, I don't have a comment on this terrible heartbreaking situation or whatever. You know, it's like Allison Dubois, the medium, like you said, from season one, she was reached out to, you know, and she went to social media, she's like, stop reaching out, this is my statement, you know.
Camille will be asked when she does Girl Trip. Camille's on this new season. Kathy's going to be asked. Kathy's going to do an interview at some point. Paris in Love, she's going to be asked. Taylor's going to be asked. Hopefully we get Taylor on this podcast to talk about it, and we ask her about it. Yeah. Everyone's going to be asked. All the girls that were on Girls Trip 4, Melissa and Joe Gorga have hung out with them before. Girls Trip 1, excuse me. Melissa and Joe Gorga have hung out with Mauricio and Kyle. There's interesting ramifications for this, and this just goes to show, like, not, of course, none of us are happy about this. This is like sad, but like when you invest in someone's life for 12 plus seasons, Kyle has been the OG. This is like everyone has a reaction and everyone has a response and everyone has an opinion. And like, that's what happens when you're on reality TV. And we really do wish them the best because they've seemed like such a strong couple. And Kyle, to me, is probably my favorite housewife because I feel like she embodies what Housewives is. She has the family, she has the husband, she has the family drama. She has all interesting dynamics with the girls. She has true friendships. She's very reasonable, but she'll get in the drama. Like, I've always enjoyed Kyle and Mauricio on the show together, and I'm interested to see what happens next. And things are going to keep coming out. We're recording this now, 4 days from now, 4 hours from now, something's going to happen.
Something's going to come out about it. Yeah, it's an ongoing story, and we'll try to keep you guys updated as often as possible. Mm-hmm. And as frequently as possible, because like you said, more is going to come out. The only show we have on this week was OC. Atlanta was a rerun because of the July 4th holiday. They took a little bit.
Not complaining. I'm sorry.
I kind of felt like my head with OC.
I'm loving OC, but Atlanta, I'll take another week off.
I will say about Atlanta, the interesting thing that came out this week was NeNe was, she was approached by TMZ in Beverly Hills or wherever she was. And basically she was asked how Kim's doing, Kim Zolciak. NeNe has said she reached out to Kim, but couldn't really speak on how she's doing in this moment, but she imagines she's not doing well. It's a divorce she's going through. Obviously, she's not doing well. But then Nene was asked if the show Real Housewives of Atlanta needs her and Kim back. And Nene, you know, always the shady one, said, look at the ratings. I think that'll give you your answer. And as we've told you week in, week out, we're kind of bored by the show.
She's not lying.
So Nene knows what she's talking about. But then, you know, when the reporter was pressed, Nene, like, okay, well, would you go back? She basically said she would go back because the fans want her to. So if she's asked, she would go back. The thing is, I don't know if she would be asked back ever again, considering she tried suing Bravo and Andy Cohen and NBC Universal, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that lawsuit was dropped or settled or whatever. But I think there's some bad blood. I mean, I'm still holding out hope, just Absolutely. Like I hold out hope for Caroline Manzo to return to Jersey.
Nene Leigh, too entertaining to not be on television. I mean, maybe we're veering closer to her being on a girls trip and them doing a Atlanta girl trip, like we have girls trip season 5 with the New York girls. Could we get that with Atlanta? Nene Leigh is too good to not be on TV. Faith is too good to not be on TV. Portia's too good to not be on TV. Kim Zolciak's too good to not be on TV, and somehow none of them are on RHOA. We'll let that speak.
I would love all 4 of them back next season, and I hate to say this, but I don't care who they get rid of to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of revamping to be done there. But OC is just fine the way it is, in my opinion. I'm loving OC. I thought it was another great episode.
OC is so good. We're
it's messy. This was a
4 or 5 episodes in, and I feel like we're getting
worse. I haven't been bored. I have not been bored with an episode yet. Maybe that's just me though.
It's got a really good cast. But anyway, this week we're still in Montana. You know, we finished with we saw the tail end of Heather and Taylor's fight, which obviously Heather's not getting all the real answers, and she won't until she watches this season back, because Tamara tried saying that Taylor Armstrong was the one shading Heather Dubrow's career, but Taylor said that Tamara kind of was the one doing it. But when Heather asked Tamara, you know, point blank, when they were alone together, did you shade my career at all? And Tamara said no, and then they showed a flashback to her basically saying Heather hasn't been in anything since the 1900s and it's only like one-off episodes of shows and, you know, whatever. So we're definitely going to get some of that at the reunion. That's going to be kind of, you don't go for Heather Dubrow's career. I mean, honestly, you don't go for anything Heather Dubrow. I'm nervous, but Tamara can hold her own, obviously. So I don't know. It's crazy. But then the rest of the episode circled around Jennifer Pedronci's relationship with Ryan, how her marriage ended, etc. What did you think of all that?
I love Jen Pedronci. I really love her. She's fun. She's such a storyline already, and it's so interesting. It's like, this is what we want. I want someone to come into the show, to join the show, that has stuff going on in their life that other women can chime in about, and we can get different perspectives. Like, it's an evolving situation with what happened with her marriage. And now there's accusations from Tamara that Ryan allegedly, I believe I have this right, went into Cut Fitness for the first time before he connected with Jen. Yes. And turned to Tamara and said, I want to F you.
Yeah. No, he didn't say to her face. He said, so he went into Cut Fitness with a mutual friend of Tamara. I think
her name's Heather.
Her name's Heather. It's not Heather Dubrow, but I think Heather is friends with Tamara and Jen.
Yes.
And Ryan, and I think this Ryan was talking to this Heather person. He pointed at Tamara and said, I'm going to F her.
And Heather told Tamara.
And Tamara found out from that Heather
girl. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jen has not known this. So Tamara revealed it to her this week on camera. And Jen's like, why didn't you tell me this before? And she was like, well, Eddie doesn't know about it. And I just didn't want to make, I don't know. She goes, it was disgusting. And I just didn't want to make it a thing because Eddie didn't know about it. And like you said, this happened 2 weeks before Ryan started dating Jen. So it doesn't really directly affect Jen, but it is kind of weird. Like almost like he just like, Jen was his backup. Like he was looking for whatever married woman he could get. And this Heather woman told Ryan that Tamara was married. It was like, oh, you're not going to sleep with her. She's married. And he was like, you watch. I'm going to have sex with her. And It's just like so gross. Like, I don't know. Like,
no, though, this is what we need.
No, it's what we need. I love it. I'm not complaining.
And then he apparently sent a dick pic to that blonde Heather. And I believe that blonde Heather is going to come up in the season at some point. But he had sent a dick pic, and the story was that they were on the plane and he clicked all his contacts and she happened to be in the contact list. And Tamara, let me tell you, she set Jen Pedranti up this season. You know, she was ready to bring this stuff out. And what I appreciate about Tamara is, like, give us a good show. Give us a good show. She knows what she's doing. Is she being a good friend? No, she really isn't being a good friend at all.
But she knows what her job is.
Good show, though. And to me, Jen Pedranti is holding her own. I'm into this one. I'm into Jen Pedranti. I think she's a really good newbie.
Yeah, she's not like, even when the Tamara's bringing up this stuff and stuff, she's not really like, she's kind of like, oh, well, why didn't you tell me in your face? She's not running away from this. She's not like, how dare you? Like, she kind of knows what she signed up for.
She gets it. The wheels are turning. You see that she's like, this is what goes on here. And my friend, because Tamara did it to Taylor too, with the whole IMDb fight or IMBD fight, whatever the hell letters they were using to describe this. Tamara, listen, she's giving the show. And this episode, I don't even know what it was called, but it should have been called, like, Thrown Under the Bus or something, because everybody's throwing each other under the bus, right? Tamara and Taylor were doing it to each other. Then Heather was doing it to Gina, and then Gina did it to Heather, and then Gina did it to Tamara. Everyone was throwing each other under the bus, except Shannon stayed out of everything, and I appreciated Shannon for sticking up for Jen, because we have this whole side story where Gina is extremely triggered by Jen. Infidelity or alleged infidelity. She denies it was physical. She says it was more of an emotional connection that was forming. Gina, as we know, was cheated on prior to when she was with Travis, her current boyfriend. So she's triggered about that. She's losing me a little there. I mean, I don't think there's anyone in the world that's like, yay, cheating. Like, nobody thinks cheating's good. But I understand what Shannon was saying, where it's like, this is what happened. She was connecting to someone else. Her marriage was failing. And, like, she didn't, I feel like they were like, oh, you leaving your family or whatever, however they were phrasing it. Like, it's not that she left her family. Like, yeah, she did, I guess, cheat on her husband, whether it was physical or not. Right. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to burn her at the stake a little. And I appreciated Shannon for stepping in and kind of saying, like, listen, there's more layers to this. And Gina's very, very triggered. And I'm not sure if I'm totally in line with that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very triggered. And what we saw at the end of the episode is her trying to call Travis to vent to him about the situation. Heather basically came in, hung up the phone, said, you need to stop going to Travis and venting to him about how triggered you are by cheating. Clearly, you might not be over your ex, and that's not something you want to be talking to Travis about. So I wanted to ask you, do you think Gina is over her ex?
Well, she definitely shouldn't be calling her current boyfriend to talk about how she's triggered by what caused the end of her last relationship, ultimately led to her meeting Travis. And they seem like a great couple, and Travis seems like a great guy. I don't think I think that's something that you talk to your girlfriends about.
Yeah, or a therapist.
They would talk to their girlfriends on camera about it. But, like, that's something you talk to your girlfriends about. I don't know if you call your current boyfriend to vent about your triggered about what happened in your last relationship and why it ended because of his infidelity. I don't know. I guess when something's like that recent and that bad, does anyone get over it that quickly? And, like, black and white like that? Like, I don't know. I don't think she's over it. I think that's okay. I just don't love how she's, like, piling on to Jen Pedranti, because can't you go watch TV or a movie and look at the internet and be triggered by anybody that's cheating? I mean, people are doing it all out there, many, many people. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I think she's trying to make something happen that isn't really working for Gina right now. But I do like Gina, and I miss Emily on this trip. I miss Emily.
Me too. Yeah. I was actually hoping when she called and said she had tested negative for COVID that she would, like, fly there and join the group halfway through or something. But I think she said she was negative, right?
Yeah, she did. She said she took two more and she ended up being negative. But I guess it's crazy because people got COVID this season. Gina and Emily both got COVID 5 episodes in.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was about the dick pic thing. So basically, like you said, Jen said that her and Ryan were sitting across from each other. Ryan accidentally sent a dick pic to this Heather woman. And his excuse was that he meant to send it to Jen. And Tamara was like, well, why would he send it to you if you were in the same room as each other? Like, why is he doing that? And Jen was like, oh, I don't know. He just, he said he was trying to be silly or something like that. And the message on it was, me and my limp D miss you. And so, like, knowing all that.
So, like,
you believe what Ryan was telling Jen, that he meant to send it to her? Or do you think he really meant to send it to Heather? I think he meant to send it to Heather. Like, he truly sent it to who he meant to, and didn't think that this woman would tell anyone. And then when she did, he had to come up with some excuse.
Yeah.
I fear for Jen, because I actually like her. Yeah. And Ryan actually has been pretty likable thus far, other than what we've heard about him, like face value. He's not like full of red flags like Louis is on camera, but I don't know. We'll see as it goes on. I know next week Jen's going to tell Ryan about the whole situation.
Yeah, and it's going to
seem happy.
I'm like just loving the storyline about how messy it is with Jen and Tamara. And I think what's working with OC is there's a lot going on, but it doesn't feel like overwhelming or like people are just screaming at each other a la Salt Lake. Like there's a lot of things going on and everybody's incorporated in what's going on. Like Emily was there, she would have chimed in, and Gina's involving herself, and we have the Heather situation, and we know from my interview that I did with Heather, that Heather is going to end up kind of a little bit on the outs with Shannon and Tamara, because right now they're all pretty chummy. We see Shannon and Tamara get to a really good place. And I think this is started when the leaf starts kind of turning with the two of them, this trip in Montana, when they start to get to a really good place. So that's been nice to watch, but everyone's just involved. Like we have the Heather and Taylor drama that we know is going to continue to unfold. Then I just feel like everyone's bringing it. And there's a lot of different dynamics that we're seeing fleshed out.
Yeah. And we have had quite a Housewives break recently since like Jersey went off the air. So OC has been like a nice refreshment. And we have a little more fun coming this weekend with Luann and Sonia. Welcome to Crappy Lake. Their simple lifestyle spinoff from obviously Housewives in New York City. And that is premiering on Bravo Sunday, July 9th, I believe.
Yep.
And we actually interviewed Sonia and Luann, which is going to come at the end of this podcast episode. They are a riot. Like we tried talking. I think we talked to them for like over 20 minutes, but you and I barely got in like 10 words.
They did all the work for us. Thank you, ladies. Yeah,
which is exactly like why they're so entertaining. I mean, they were just like taking jabs at each other, talking about diarrhea and passing gas and like, you know, dating and who slept with who on their trip to Crappy Lake. Like this is not only we've seen the first three episodes, it's a funny show. It's hysterical. It's Luann and Sonia at their best. And it is just, it's something you guys all have to watch to see, you know, just how funny it really is.
I don't think
we can really do it justice, but I think the interview that you guys will listen to will give you a little bit of tease of what you're going to get, and you'll just see, because they are hilarious. But not only that, not only did they promote Crappy Lake, but they teased Girls Trip, because we got them late last week, right after they finished filming season 5 of Girls Trip, which was like a Roni legacy cast with Ramona, Sonia, Dorinda, Luann, Kristen Takeman, and Kelly Bensimon. And you know, they teased that show, which I don't know when we're gonna get it, because we haven't even gotten season 4 of Girls Trip yet. But
I think in 2024.
They gave us enough info that I think it'll hold fans over. That's
gonna be hysterical. Good,
juicy info, yeah. And that's gonna be hysterical.
The interview will just speak for itself, because the two of them are just two hoots. I mean, we couldn't get a word in, but for the best. Like, they're just so funny. They're jabbing at each other. They're talking about all the crazy antics that they did, which you guys will see. The show is just so funny. And yeah, some great Girls Trip 5 teases about what's going on with Ramona and Dorinda and them and maybe a pirate, you know. Delivered, and it was especially to see, talk to Sonia and to see her back on TV, because we did have Luann on Girls Trip 1, so it's been long time since we've seen Sonia on TV. And
yeah, that's
again
true.
It's another person, like we said with Nene Leakes, it's like these women are too good, you can't take them away from television.
The beauty of the Housewives universe at this point. We've got Girls Trip, we've got the mothership, you know, the Housewives shows. We've got even Traders now on Peacock brings in some housewives, you know.
Traitors now. Can you imagine? Who? Can you imagine any of the New York girls on the Traitors? Any of them? Ramona, they would be so disastrous. I would tune in. I just love them all. And the interview was just great. We had a blast.
Yeah. So everyone stick around for that. And then we'll be back next week with some more news. And we're interviewing the new cast of Roni. So you'll get a little bit of that as well. Welcome back, everyone. We are so excited because we have none other than Real Housewives of New York City alum, Sonia Morgan and Luann de Lesseps, who are here. Oh, hi. Podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. We're so excited for your new show, Luann and Sonia. Welcome to Crappy Lake. How did this show come about? Tell us about that.
Well, the producers, you know, approached us and said, we have a great concept with Jeff Jenkins, who's an OG in the producers world. And he is partners with this guy, Russell. How do you say Russell's last name?
Stadlick.
You'll have to Google.
He's from Benton, Illinois. So yeah. That's kind of, we end up there because Russell's from that town. And They originally did The Simple Life and The Kardashians.
Yep.
So when they asked us to go down to help out this small town.
We were in.
Yeah. There was no hesitation.
Don't say no to Jenkins and Co.
Okay.
It makes sense that producer worked on The Simple Life because that obviously has been compared to from your show to that show. Had you guys seen that show and how familiar were you with it?
Totally. I watched it. I actually watched it after I found out about this because, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this, and you don't even know this. My daughter, Victoria, said to me, Mom, you should do a show like The Simple Life. But she said this to me like 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
She was, you see, I told you you should
you
be doing that.
You never told me that.
I know, I forgot.
I never watched the show. I watch killer shows. I like Snapped. On Oxygen.
Victoria manifested the show.
Manifesting a lot.
So, yeah, it just kind of came along. And, you know, it's not The Simple Life. It can be compared because it's kind of the same premise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's different because we're down there working with the mayor to improve the community through public.
Public service.
Exactly. Thank you. The motel, we help clean up. You know, we do a playground for underprivileged kids.
Doggy run.
We do
Christmas and
dog shelter.
We raise money. And then the variety
show. And then we do a full-on variety show with the town's theater. So, you know, we had our work cut out for us.
Yeah.
And
very long list.
It was a long list. But, you know, they were so nice, the people of Benton. You know, we grew up in small towns, so people think, oh, there's these fancy girls, and they did. Here's these fancy girls coming from New York.
No, they had a sign, welcome from Hollywood. I'm like, look.
Hollywood life. Anyway, so.
There you go.
Welcome Hollywood. We're like, what? Anyway, so, you know, they didn't know what to expect, clearly. And, you know, I think they were pleasantly surprised because we really got in there. We really got to work. And we got our hands dirty. I mean, I caught a catfish with my bare hands, for God's sake. So, I mean,
this big. And the things that we did were lasting. They'll always have the Christmas in July, you know, the huge tree and all the lighting. Everything's set up for them to do it every year. The variety show will go on every year and raise money for the community. The doggy run, now they're, you know, people are adopting dogs one or two a week when they were doing one or two a year.
Oh, wow.
That was major.
It was really bad. So, you know, we did a lot of great stuff. And along the way, there's a lot of comedy. I've never been invited to a testicle festival. I can say that.
I'm very interested to find out what that is all about.
Yeah. Well, it's about fried testicles, basically. And
did you see the trailer with the cow's balls are like this long with the sack way down here.
And they're like, do you want to try turkey? I'm like, turkeys have balls? I had no idea. Did you?
Well, I know one thing. They're like chicken wings. They have hair. And I don't
Yeah,
do
but
that.
When it's fried, it doesn't matter.
Let's not talk about it. The batter sticks to the hair.
Your two banter is like exactly why you guys got the show together.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, this is the magic itself.
Oh my God. You know, well, listen, you know, Sonia and I have been friends for a long time. You see that in The Housewives. But for Crappy, you know, I used to live at Sonia's townhouse. She comes to stay with me in the Hamptons, you know.
Yeah.
We were like, you know, Luann and Sonia, Laverne and Shirley kind of meets the odd couple because I'm like a neat freak and she is a hot mess. But that's why it works.
Yeah. I roll a lot easier than her. She's very, very much into everything being perfect.
And we know you roll easy.
She looks at her motel room all pink with little lights like in Dubai. I'm like,
fairy lights. It made me happy. I needed pink. And she had the maroon bedspreads from 1960. I don't know what.
Synthetic.
Yeah.
We didn't really avail ourselves to Walmart. So that was a daily trip.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, it was a daily trip for me. She always sent me to the store.
I bought the stock because I love Walmart.
I drove the whole time.
She loves driving.
I was driving Miss Sonia Rita.
I hate driving. Driving Miss Crazy Daisy over here.
Yeah, you guys were a good duo. We also know you guys can both be very flirtatious. Were there any love prospects in this town?
Well, Sonia.
Mostly people are married there, so.
Well, and Sonia has a little affair with a guy. And we went mudding. Do you know what mudding is? They take monster trucks and they take them through the mud.
Big wheels. But
I'm talking about the wheel is like 20 feet tall, right?
She really liked it. I did it. I let the guy think I liked it so I could sleep with him, but she really liked it.
Well, did it work?
Are you being facetious or you really did?
Of course it worked.
He didn't tell me he didn't live at the motel. He was staying at the motel. I thought he lived there because a lot of people.
No, he lived in where?
Outside New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah.
Whatever.
Now, clearly you guys had a lot of fun. You did a lot of good for the town. Were there any trepidations going into the trip? You were there, what, 5 or 6 weeks?
No, none. We were like, when? And we'll be there. When Jeff Jenkins calls, that's it. He did the Kardashians. We didn't film Real Housewives in New York for how long? It was like, what? Thank you, God. We were there. And also, it's right up our alley to, you know, do these trade outs and get these things done for the people. Mm-hmm. She had to flirt with a guy to get the fence. I don't know what I got to do to get the truck, but I got it.
Yeah, listen, people always ask us this going into a new season of Housewives, like, what are you nervous about? What are you expecting? And really, this was the same kind of thing, which is like, we were going to a town that we don't know at all, but we're not ones to shy away from going somewhere new and being adventurous and just embracing, you know, people, because they're beautiful people and they have a adorable town, a beautiful community of people with big hearts. So I think all the do-gooding and the community and the humor, I think it's just what we need right now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to do good as
we knew it was going to be inspirational to people.
I mean, for me, it's a dream job, you know, to be on reality and be able to go to a town and help people out and be with my bestie over here.
That was great.
Bring it on.
The room was a little small, though, guys. It was a motel.
Yeah, the motel was a little small. That's true.
We love when you guys checked into your rooms, your reactions. We saw the first few episodes. And in the first episode, when you guys check into the rooms, your reactions are priceless and relatable.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't be? I mean, we came from our beautiful New York City and the Hamptons, for me personally. And to go into this, you know, four-walled room that was going to be my home for the next 6 weeks was like a little daunting. That I must say.
I did have a toaster oven that helped and a blender.
Of course,
and
you had a toaster oven.
And a pink bathroom.
But the blackout, we had no electricity one night. Somebody ran into the telephone
pole. Oh, no.
It wasn't us. Okay. We ran a few stop signs over, though. You saw that in the trailer when Luann backed into the sign?
I didn't see it. Seriously. People probably think I did that on purpose, which I did not
do at all. Yeah, it was a nice experience. The people are lovely.
Yeah.
Did you guys get into any fights at all? I mean, I would guess no, but I'm curious, being stuck together for 5 or 6 weeks.
When we were hangry, maybe.
Hot and hangry. I mean.
Hot and hangry. But then, you know, Luann said I was hiding her soy creamer. And I'm like, what? I'm the one that secured 6 bottles in my soy creamer. Then I gave it to her because she kept asking for it, so I gave it to her. And I don't think they're going to air this. This was off camera.
Who cares?
I didn't have it in the fridge, and she got diarrhea.
Well, I was just that much thinner, darling. That much thinner.
Outside, I could have left it outside. I kept putting it in my fridge. I go, here, you want it? No, we were like sisters. I said, Lou, look over there. And then I eat her steak.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I didn't order the steak. I didn't like what I had. Oh, my God.
You know, and doing variety together. And, you know, we're different, a little different that way in terms of putting together our shows that we do independently. You know, for my cabaret, I'm like very, you know, I have my plan. I have my musical director. I got my script and things. And I go off script in cabaret. But Sonia's like totally improv. And it's like, well, I don't know if we can use the kid that is trying to play the violin on a unicycle because he can't play violin, first of all. But we did use him to carry the cards, like act one, act two. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
On his, so you see, so we found really ways to make it work. You know, we butted heads surely along the way a couple times.
Well, she was very critical of the talent because, you know, she was.
I wanted to put together an amazing show for the town, and people are buying tickets. So you can't, you know, you can't give them a crappy show.
No, and I was like, well, the people buying the tickets are the parents of the kids. So let's just give them a nice feeling, you know, that they get to watch their child on stage. And, you know, Luann was giving everyone twos and threes, and I was giving everybody a five.
What can you guys say about Paula Abdul's
appearance? I know. That was a gap, right? Oh, my God. We're so happy about that, you know, because we had all these different acts, you know. It was a singer, a guitarist,
a gymnast,
or, you know, a juggler,
a contortionist.
We had all kinds of acts. And so we had dancers also and dance troupes. So this one dance troupe, they were the best. And we were like, we wanted them to be absolutely on their game. Mm-hmm. And Paula Abdul, she's so iconic. I can't believe she even came, but she did. What a big heart she has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 15 minutes, she had those girls looking so much sharper. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Were you guys like instrumental in getting her there?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, we know her and
she does it.
We know her. And so, you know, we reached out and she came. So we were thrilled about that. And I think she really liked the idea and was into it. And so she came and it was wonderful to see those girls' faces when Paula Abdul walks in and their mothers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was worth
Dance teachers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of schools there for dance and gymnasts, and they go 3 to 4 times a week to practice. So for them to meet Paula Abdul was a lifelong dream.
Yeah.
She's a legend.
Lifetime moment on Bravo TV.
only on Bravo, right? You guys have known each other for so long, but I'm curious, what did you learn about each other from this experience?
I just always say, that we can do it, that we make a promise and we keep it and we get it done together. Sometimes I'll say something that she doesn't agree with and I don't agree with her, but then we go back to our motel room and hash it out, you know, and come back together and we make it happen.
Or we go get a Dairy Queen banana split. That's
then I had diarrhea. I ate the whole thing.
That's a good way to end it.
You know, I think that Sonia and I have traveled a lot together during the course of the Housewives. We traveled a lot together, you know.
On our own.
She stayed in my home in the Hamptons. I stayed at her apartment in
New York. We got a yoga retreat.
Yeah, we kind of know each other really well that way. So there's no big surprise there for me personally. But I was proud of us.
Yeah, I was
proud of us.
I was glad we could do it.
Oh, wait,
did
you do it like this?
Fuck the ride. And also, again, we want to go back to Benton and help them more. There's a lot of interesting characters.
We're going to other towns and help people across the country who could use, you know, a little,
straw that stirs the drink. Yeah. And they want to be cool, not uncool.
Yeah. And I think
so is that like a hope? Are you hoping this show goes on for multiple seasons?
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of towns and mayors that would like to have us come in and help them in their town. So that would be amazing. So let's see.
It felt really good. It was gratifying, but fun and funny. That's the thing Andy Cohen was saying. It's revolutionary because they're only 30 minutes long and they go so fast. Yeah. You can play it over and over and you'll hear something you didn't hear the first time. So I can see them being played at parties, you know, watch parties and stuff.
Andy said, you know, Lou, I don't laugh at anything. I am laughing out loud. I mean, this show is, and so that's a huge nod for us. So we worked really hard on this. We worked not only for the town, but we worked hard on just maintaining our own sanity because our lives got taken away from us for 6 weeks. We had no time for anything personal. It was all about these people in this town. So, we're proud of ourselves after doing the show. Yeah.
And I think the viewers are going to love it. It's almost slapstick because
It's funny. It's funny. And also, you got to keep up that energy and, you know, be funny and, you know, help. And, you know, so there's a lot of elements that went into play in the show. And we're thrilled at how the production company edited it and made it look amazing and took all the best bits and turned it into a fantastic series. And I hope people are going to love it.
Yeah, it really is.
Of course, we dressed for the part. Wow, did we inspire people? Everyone was dressing up at the end.
Who doesn't wear a sequin dress to the fire department?
Or a statement necklace.
Come on.
There's going to be all new fashion in that town now, thanks to you guys.
Yeah. speaking, you guys said you love to travel together. You guys just went to St. Bart's together with the cast of New York City for a girls' trip, season 5 legacy thing. How was that? What can fans expect from that trip?
That was a mixed bag, but a lot of fun too.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We had a great time. We had, you know, there's always drama, of course, when you put 6 women together. I mean, Kristen Teichman and Kelly haven't filmed in years. And, but it was great to have our, you know, Dorinda, myself, Ramona, and Sonia back again on a trip to St. Bart's.
Yeah.
There were some pirates involved, as always. And there's a little scary island going on there.
Yeah.
And
we don't want to get any spoilers, but
we can't get any spoilers, but it's a great fun trip. And we break the fourth wall and we talk about things that you've seen throughout the course of Roni that you're going to hear about in our perspective on that too. So I think there'll be a lot of flashback moments and things like that.
That's always fun, a flashback.
Yeah,
they've been doing that on Girls Trip, breaking the fourth wall. Lou, I'm curious, how did this one compare to season 1 with the other girls that you went to Turks and Caicos?
You know, it's totally different because, you know, those were girls that I don't know well from all the different franchises, right? So I think it's a totally different experience. You know, that's what we used to do. It's just travel together and have fun and go on these trips and know each other as real friends. So, you know, listen, I know Cynthia Bailey, I know Kyle, but not well. Kyle was a nice surprise for me because she's really funny. I had a great time with her. She's fun. She's down to earth. And, you know, and has her, you know, has like all women do, you know, her own drama somewhere in life. And, you know, we all have that. But it was getting to know her better, getting to know Teresa better, who I didn't know. And she was just falling in love with Louis.
Yeah,
she was just falling in love with Louis. She was getting love notes and flowers. And so I was excited for her.
Yeah.
Melissa's always a good time.
I think Louis and her on the rocks and Cynthia went on the rocks.
Yeah. Well, and then Ramona.
To the housewives.
And then, Ramona was totally different on that trip than she is on this trip. But, you know, but you'll see a little reminiscence of, you know, how she loves to treat the staff.
Some things never change, I guess.
Some things never change, but that's what we love about Ramona.
Of course, we share Ramona.
That's why she
comes back. My light just went out.
I do want to see if you two can confirm or deny. There's a rumor that Bethany and Jill might be making appearances. Can you say about that?
Oh, on the trip?
Yeah, someone thought they saw them on their plane or something with you guys.
We can't confirm or deny.
Would you welcome their appearance if that?
Yeah, we love you guys.
Would you welcome them if they?
Well, I was, you know,
hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Yes, of course.
Before we go, before we let you go, we have to ask, what sort of advice would you give the new cast of New York City before their show premieres?
Well, you have to know you can't fool the viewers, and the best housewives are the realest and real friendships.
Yeah. And, you know,
just be yourself.
Just be yourself, and the camera doesn't lie. And you know, the little things can take you down, so it's best to brush them off. Chic, c'est la vie, c'est bon. So the point is that, you know, the haters are going to hate, and people can be mean, but don't even listen to people out there, and just do you. Viva la diva.
And you'll have your followers.
Yeah,
because somebody will be inspired.
Sorry, we lost our camera light. So.
That's okay. Well, listen, we're so excited for Luann and Sonia. Welcome to Crappy Lake, premiering on Bravo July 9th with 2 back-to-back episodes.
We're excited about doing 2 episodes in that first night.
And then Watch What Happens Live with Andy.
And then we're doing Watch What Happens Live.
Nice.
And that's going to be so much fun,
and
too.
And then we're both touring in the fall.
That's right.
Yeah, we're both going back on Cabaret, and she's going back to
Sonia in Your City.
Sonia in Your City.
But it's,
you both have a lot coming down.
Slam down 15
we days. Have a lot coming down the plane.
So many things to work out.
We have a lot going on, but we're enjoying it. It is our moment.
Yeah, we're loving it. We're excited.
We're manifesting Welcome to Crappy Lake season 2.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Gorgeous.
Are they so cute?